Welcome to the Interactive Metronome Certification Course Pre-Course Research Review. Hi, I'm April Christofferson, and I'll be with you over the course of the next hour or so discussing the research that supports the use of Interactive Metronome in a variety of settings with a variety of clients. Now, this is the pre-course research review, and it is intended to be completed before you log in to the actual virtual certification course. During the virtual certification course, you will be in a group setting, and you will be opening the technology, the equipment. You'll be learning how to implement it and individualize it for your clients. If you haven't already done so, I would encourage you to download or pull up the PDF PowerPoint of today's presentation. It will help you in following along with the research that I'll be presenting throughout the course of the next hour. So without further delay, let's go ahead and get started. We're first going to tackle the concept of timing in the brain. As humans, we have a scale of timing in our brain that ranges from microsecond processing or fight or flight all the way to our circadian rhythm processing, which would be our rest and digest system. In the microsecond processing area of our brain, this is where our brain tells us seek shelter, be safe. This is variable inhibition. This is not something that you sit and process steps with. You do this automatically. That would be microsecond processing. On the other end would be your circadian rhythm processing or rest and digest. Your appetite, your sleep-wake cycles, all your body functions that contribute to the foundation of being able to be healthy, alert, and awake. So circadian rhythm is the opposite of microsecond processing. In the middle is millisecond and second processing. And these are the areas that research is showing that interactive metronome has a positive effect on the brain. In millisecond processing, your brain is tackling speech generation and recognition, motion detection, motor coordination. For example, if I say two similar words to you, such as chip, ship, your brain is determining the slight phonetical difference between those two words. In second processing, we are tackling conscious time estimation. For example, if you are driving and you have a car in front of you, consciously in real time, you are determining how close you should get to the other car, how fast you should go, how slow you should go, should you brake, should you speed up. This is second processing. Another example of this would be if you're in an airport and you see a child who is trying to step on an escalator or a moving walkway. One of my favorite things about the airport is watching kids and their sense of wonder. Well, a child who has never been on an escalator or a moving walkway, they have to determine when to place their foot and where so that they're still safe, they're not falling. And so consciously in real time, they are standing and they are estimating when to place their foot on the escalator. That's second processing. So with interactive metronome, what we have is the power of millisecond feedback. Through intense repetition and millisecond feedback, the interactive metronome synchronizes neural networks, which are vital for our auditory processing, our executive functioning, attention control, working memory. So a lot of what we do cognitively, including speech and language. The gist of this is that increased synchronization leads to increased efficiency and speed of communication along our white matter tracts of our brain, which then leads to improvement in our cognitive, sensory, and motor skills. The IM effect is a principle that I'm going to globally introduce to you now, and we will circle back around to this at the end of the presentation today. With the research that I will be demonstrating to you and presenting to you, I think that you'll understand the IM effect a little bit better at the end of today's presentation. But I want you to globally know what this is. So the IM effect is basically how interactive metronome increases the speed and synchronization of neural oscillations, how it improves neural efficiency, how it improves and increases the speed of white matter track processing, which results in increased brain network communication, and then the increase of efficiency of your attentional control system, which includes your working memory and executive functioning, which leads to better focus, more complex cognitive processing, and better learning. So that is the IM effect. So first today, we're going to talk about the ADHD research. The first study that I'd like to present to you was published in 2001. It took 56 boys, ages 6 to 12, and assigned them randomly to three distinct groups. The first experimental group were the boys that participated in 15 sessions of interactive metronome. The second group was a placebo control group where the boys participated in video games. And the third group was a control group where the boys did recess per typical schedule of their day. The interactive metronome group actually had significant improvement on 53 of 58 tests and subtests that were presented to all three groups. Now, these tests and subtests focused on attention and concentration, clinical functioning, sensory and motor functioning, and academic and cognitive skills. The interactive metronome group improved on areas such as attention to task, decoding for reading comprehension, sensory processing, attaching meaning to language. The next piece of research that I'd like to discuss with you by McLean Hospital and Harvard Medical School. In this study, the researchers wanted to know if, compared to children who are on stimulant medication, those who participated in brain balance exercises with interactive metronome home would have similar behavioral and intentional outcomes. The ADHD group consisted of 33 subjects, of which 16 of the children participated in 5 days a week with brain balance exercises and interactive metronome home sessions. There were two control groups consisting of 27 children, some of which were typically developed and others who had a diagnosis of ADHD. The researchers did several outcome measures pre and post, including an fMRI to examine resting state functional connectivity. Now, if you'd like to know the actual details of this study, I would encourage you to go ahead and look it up and read it. It is available to you in your bibliography, and it can be accessed on the Interactive Metronome website. So, in a nutshell, the children in the experimental group participated in 3 days a week of brain balance exercises and 2 days a week of interactive metronome home training. Compared to the control groups, the children who received the brain balance interactive metronome treatment demonstrated significant results on the following pre and post tests: the Connors Parent Rating Scale, the ADHD Rating Scale of the DSM-4, the Quotient ADHD System, Tower of London, and the MacWork Clock. Several pre-treatment fMRI neurobiological differences between ADHD and typically developing children were normalized following the brain balance interactive metronome treatment. Connections between critical brain regions involved in purposeful focusing and attention shifting were improved. Abnormal connectivity within the salience network that contributed to distractibility was improved. Cortical network associated with language, music processing, time estimation, and prediction was improved. Cerebellar connections responsible for visual memory and comprehension were improved. Cerebellar volume responsible for emotional regulation and vestibular and visual information and involved in balance, vestibular reflex, eye movements that impact the level of hyperactivity, postural control, and balance were all improved. A quote from one of the researchers, It appears that Brain Balance Interactive Metronome reduced these neurobiological differences to the point that they were no longer statistically significant. Additional neurobiological outcomes of Brain Balance Interactive Metronome included improvement in the visual spatial working memory system, sustained and selective attention improvement, improved planning and anticipation, focused attention, and decreased tendency to become distracted, action monitoring and continuous performance cognitive control, and a reduction of hyperactivity, thus decreasing that undesirable behavior in the ADHD group. Now let's move into academic research. The first study that I want to speak with you about was published in 1999. Basically, in this study, the researchers found that there was a significant correlation between interactive metronome timing and academic performance, which affects reading, mathematics, oral language, written language, attention, and motor coordination and performance. The researchers discovered that timing was better in children if they're older, as they age, if they're already achieving academically, if they're taking dance and music lessons, or if they're already attentive in class. They found that timing was deficient in children if they already required special education and they were not attentive in class. Now remember, this study was measuring just timing, the reaction in milliseconds to an auditory cue. And that's important because this is going to lead us into several other studies that demonstrate specific improvement in academic areas. The first one is reading achievement, and this was published in 2007. In this study, the researchers wanted to know if elementary age students would have improvement in academics, specifically reading, after participating in 18 interactive metronome sessions over 4 weeks. And what they found is that there was a significant improvement in not just timing, but also pre-reading skills, such as phonics, phonological awareness, and fluency. They surmised that interactive metronome addressed the efficiency of working memory, cognitive processing speed and efficiency, executive functioning and attention, and then self-regulation and self-monitoring. The next study was published by Baylor University in 2012. In this study, the researchers looked at 49 children ages 7 to 11 years old that had concurrent oral and written language impairments with reading disability. The control group received reading intervention 4 hours per day, 4 times a week for 4 weeks. The experimental group, in addition to the 4 hours of reading intervention for 4 weeks, also received 15 minutes of interactive metronome training per session prior to the 4 hours a day. What they found is that the interactive metronome group demonstrated significantly greater gains in reading rate, fluency, and comprehension. In a mathematics study that was published in 2015, 86 children ages 7 to 9 were divided into two groups. The experimental group received 18 sessions of interactive metronome, and the control group participated in research. What the experimenters found was that the interactive metronome group demonstrated greater accuracy on math problem solving and completed math problems faster than the control group. Growth in math achievement in the experimental or the interactive metronome group was above and beyond the expected growth for that age group for that period of time. Now I'd like to discuss with you autism. In the next research studies that I present to you, there is no use of interactive metronome in the studies. However, the importance of these two studies that I'll be speaking with you about, they do highlight the neural synchronization and timing and the differences of a child with autism versus a neurotypical child. The first study was published in 2011, and what it found is that the development of abnormal neural networks that exhibit irregular synaptic connectivity and abnormal neural synchronization is tied to the diagnosis of autism. Toddlers with autism exhibited significantly weaker interhemispheric synchronization or weak functional connectivity across the two hemispheres. And disrupted cortical synchronization is a notable characteristic of autism, and it appears at very early stages of autism development. The next study was published in 2014. It found that children with autism spectrum disorder have trouble integrating simultaneous visual and auditory sensory information due to impaired temporal processing. Perceiving the timing of incoming sensory information is paramount to the ability to perceptually bind stimuli across sensory modalities. And the researchers found that this timing is a deficit that hampers development of social, communication, language, and literacy skills. So that moves us into the areas of sensory processing and auditory processing. The first study that I want to discuss with you was a pilot study that was published in 2012. The researchers took 10 children with various diagnoses such as delayed development, intellectual disability, autism, speech delay, ADHD, and Down syndrome. They had pre and post measures such as the short sensory profile, the Connors Teachers Rating Scale, and the DeGange-Burke test. What the researchers found is that there was significant improvements on the short sensory profile to a level of statistical significance. The children had improvement in tactile sensitivity, gustatory olfactory sensitivity, motor sensitivity, a high-low response, hearing filtering or auditory filtering, low endurance, visual and auditory sensitivity, and they had an overall improvement on the short sensory profile total score. They also had significant improvements on the Connors Teachers Rating Scale and the DeGange-Burke test, which measured increased attention, decreased hyperactivity, postural control, bilateral integration, reflex integration, and the total score on each of those tests. The next study was published in 2013 by Northwestern University. And what the researchers found is that the ability to tap in sync with an auditory beat is directly correlated to the consistency of auditory brainstem response to sound, the degree of neural jitter or noise in the system, the ability to read, phonological awareness, and fine and gross motor skills. Now, one thing that you need to understand is that auditory and motor system, they in our brain, they use shared neural pathways. Children with speech, language, and reading disorders have much more difficulty clapping in sync to a steady beat than those children who are developing these skills normally. So a delay then is correlated with difficulty with rhythm and clapping in sync with a beat. Another study by Northwestern that was published in 2019 took 68 children and assessed them on four different tasks to evaluate the taxonomy of rhythmic skills fundamental for the development of language and literacy. So they wanted to know how rhythmic skills relate and develop in school-age children. The children were asked to drum to an isosynchronous or steady pacing beat. They were asked to remember and repeat rhythmic patterns. They were asked to drum to the beat of music, identifying the beat within the music, and clap in sync with a steady beat with visual feedback for millisecond timing. And they used the interactive metronome tool for that task. Quotes by lead researcher Nina Kraus, she said, "Struggling with certain rhythmic skills can reflect underlying language and or perceptual impairment. a more thorough understanding of the development and interconnection of different rhythmic abilities in early childhood can crucially help in sculpting such interventions to the specific needs of each individual. She also said that interactive metronome is unique in that it is the only intervention to date that simultaneously impacts all of the vital rhythms for the development of language and literacy. A third study that was published by Northwestern University in 2018 evaluated synchronization abilities, neurophysiological responses to speech in noise, and literacy skills. The results showed that with children ages 5 to 7, children with lower variability in synchronizing have higher phase consistency, higher stability, and more accurate envelope encoding, all neurophysiological response components linked to language skills. And again, quotes by Nina Kraus on this research, she said, performing the same task with visual feedback using interactive metronome reveals links with literacy skills, notably processing speed, phonological processing, word reading, spelling, morphology, and syntax. These results suggest that rhythm skills and literacy call on overlapping neural mechanisms, supporting the idea that rhythm training may boost literacy in part by engaging sensory motor systems. The last study by Northwestern that I want to speak with you about was published in 2016. And what they measured is adolescents who were able to clap in sync with an auditory beat during interactive metronome assessment, how they would score on reading-related tests. And what they found is that adolescents who demonstrated better rhythm or consistency using the interactive metronome did in fact participate and perform better on tests of phonological memory and reading sub-skills. They also demonstrated greater cortical maturation for auditory processing. The researchers said that synchronization employing feedback via the interactive metronome may prove useful as a remedial strategy for individuals who struggle with timing-based language learning impairments. We're going to move on to traumatic brain injury research. The study that I want to discuss with you was published in 2013. It was the effects of interactive metronome therapy on cognitive functioning after blast-related brain injury. There were 46 active duty soldiers who had experienced mild to moderate blast-related traumatic brain injury. The experimental group participated in occupational, physical, and speech therapy, plus 3 sessions per week, totaling 18 sessions of interactive metronome training. The control group just had treatment as usual with occupational, physical, and speech therapy. The interactive metronome group demonstrated substantial improvements on 21 of 26 neuropsychological measures. The skills measured included attention, auditory attention, auditory memory, processing speed, short-term visual memory, visual attention, motor speed, executive functioning, and cognitive flexibility. So there was a lot going on here in this study. Also, the participants all had EEGs. The findings of the IM group showed that remyelination and reestablishment of critical white matter tracts and neural synchronization of bilateral prefrontal and parietal cortices had occurred. The control group that received treatment as usual had demonstrated further decline on their EEG findings. The interactive metronome group substantially improved in the areas of auditory and visual attention, processing speed, working memory, response inhibition, and executive functioning. Lead researcher Lonnie Nelson, PhD, was quoted as saying, "The addition of interactive metronome therapy to standard rehab care appears to have a positive effect on neuropsychological outcomes for soldiers who have sustained mild to moderate TBI and have persistent cognitive complaints after the period for expected recovery has passed. That leads us into motor and neurological dysfunction research. The first study that I want to speak with you about was published in 2015, and it was studying fine motor skills and praxis. The study validated the use of the interactive metronome long form assessment as a measure of praxis in children. The study included 25 children, ages 6 to 11, with and without ADHD. The children who did not have ADHD had significant difference in timing and rhythm as compared to those who did have ADHD. There was also high correlations found between the interactive metronome long-form assessment scores and performance on the Brunix-Ostrowski test of motor proficiency, which measures hand control, fine motor, hand, and balance skills. Now, if you're not familiar with the interactive metronome long form assessment, when you log in and you participate in the actual virtual certification course, you will be participating in a long form assessment. The next study was published in 2013, and the researchers wanted to know if children with developmental coordination disorders had different timing in comparison to children with typical development. There were 52 children ages 7 to 12, 21 of which had developmental coordination disorder. The study did reveal that there is much slower motor response times in children with developmental coordination disorder as compared to those with typical development. It also found that interactive metronome timing scores were an accurate prediction of handwriting performance. The researchers were quoted as saying that they strongly recommend interactive metronome as an evaluation and intervention tool for children with developmental coordination disorder. The next study was published in 2012. The researchers wanted to know what the effect of interactive metronome would be on bilateral coordination, balance, and upper extremity function for a child with hemiplegic cerebral palsy. This was a single subject study. The child with hemiplegic CP demonstrated significant improvement in bilateral coordination and balance training when they participated in interactive metronome 2 times a week for a total of 12 sessions of interactive metronome. The next study was published in 2012, and the researchers were looking at short and long-term effects of synchronized metronome training in children with hemiplegic cerebral palsy. Now, this one took 2 children with hemiplegic CP. One was a 17-year-old female, and the second one was a 13-year-old male. Over the course of 4 weeks, the children participated in 12 sessions of interactive metronome. They had unilateral and bimanual upper limb movements that were assessed via kinematic analysis pre and post, and then again 6 months post. Both children demonstrated smoother and shorter bimanual movement trajectories, especially for the affected side. One child exhibited increased smoothness of the non-affected side, and there were noticeable improvements in motor learning, which occurred immediately post-training and was maintained at 6 months post-training. The researchers were quoted as saying, "Interactive metronome training incorporates many of the factors that have been described to be important in the induction of plastic changes in the brain, and thus appears to be a promising intervention method for persons with sensory motor deviations." Now, in my courses, I do get a lot of questions from my participants about the longstanding effects of interactive metronome, where if you see results immediately, will you continue to see those improvements 6 and 12 months post? This study actually demonstrates that 6 months post treatment with the interactive metronome, there was still noticeable improvement in motor learning. The next study was published in 2011 by the University of Cincinnati. The researchers looked at two ischemic stroke hemiplegia survivors. One was 68 years old and one was 77 years old. Both of these gentlemen had minimal active movement of the affected arm and hand prior to the study. The intervention included 30 minutes of interactive metronome training, along with 25 minutes of traditional OT, which targeted the practice of meaningful functional movement based upon patient goal selection. The results of this study were that both gentlemen had an improvement in the ability to grasp, pronate, and supinate their arm and hand on the affected side. They had improvement and improved ability to perform ADLs. They had a self-report of improvement of quality of life. The researchers were quoted as saying, "Interactive metronome does not require active distal movement to be effective, and most other technologies do. Interactive metronome training is easily incorporated into traditional treatment where patients can practice functional movement." This is another example of pairing interactive metronome with what you are already doing. The other study that we talked about earlier was the study by Baylor University with reading. What they did in both of these studies is they added interactive metronome to what they were already doing therapeutically with their clients. The next study was published in 2017, and the title of it was "The Effects of Interactive Metronome Training on Upper Extremity Function, ADL, and QOL in Stroke Patients." There were 30 adults, all 6 months post CVA. The experimental group included 15 subjects, and they participated in interactive metronome training for 15 weeks. The control group completed bilateral arm exercises independently also for 15 weeks. The interactive metronome group demonstrated greater improvement in the areas of finger control or isolation, self-care activities of daily living, such as feeding, toileting, dressing, and transfers, and they had the most notable change in independent dressing. They also demonstrated improvement in overall motor function and quality of life. That's a big deal when we're looking at survivors of CVA to have that improvement of quality of life. The next study also identifies improvement of quality of life, and this was a Parkinson's study that measured computer-based motor training activities or interactive metronome and how they can improve the function of Parkinson's disease. In this controlled study, computer-directed rhythmic movement training, interactive metronome, was found to improve the motor signs of Parkinsonism. There were 36 individuals with mild to moderate Parkinson's. The control group participated in rhythmic moving and clapping to music, a metronome, or playing video games. The experimental group participated in interactive metronome training for a total of 20 hours, which is basically rhythmic movement plus feedback for timing. The next area we're going to discuss is balance and gait. And as we all should know, sometimes I don't really think about this, but the only true way to practice walking is to actually walk. And the smooth transition between phases of the gait cycle is an integrated activity that is difficult to learn when you're just practicing individual parts. The interactive metronome has a tool that is called in-motion training. And when the participant is wearing the in-motion trainers, the interactive metronome is measuring the heel strike. And what it does is it leads to improved biomechanics. It helps to alter the gait speed of your client and it increases the stride length. So use of the in-motion triggers is an actual positive training in real time for practicing gait or practicing walking. That leads us into the fall risk research. The first study that I'm going to speak with you about was published in 2015. This study was out of East Carolina University, and it measured the effects of interactive metronome on memory process and balance with aging adults ages 60 and up. There were 9 healthy aging adults ages 60 to 80 years. They all participated in interactive metronome training. The training went something like this. They did 12 sessions of interactive metronome over 8 weeks, and then they took a 6-week break. Then they did 6 more sessions over 4 weeks. Now, here's the thing. These subjects had a max of 275 reps per session, and they only did upper extremity exercises, and they were seated the whole time. There were pre-tests and post-tests administered, cognitive and balance tests. They were administered pre-intervention, after the initial 12 sessions, after the 6-week break, and again at the conclusion of the study. The most notable effect on testing was on the 4-step square test, despite only participating in upper extremity exercises, which indicates an improvement in these subjects in the areas of balance, motor speed, and a decreased fear of falling. The results of the math fluency, reading fluency, and D2 test of attention indicate increased improvement as well in the areas of attention and cognitive speed. Now, all areas of the tests that were administered actually improved, but the most improvement was on the 4-step square test, which balanced. Now, all of the tests that were administrated demonstrated improvement, some more than others. And again, the one with the most notable improvement was the 4-step square test. And I want to dig into this a little bit more with you to remind you that the subjects were seated. They only had 275 repetitions, and they only did upper extremity exercises using the interactive metronome. And yet, we had improvement on the 4-step square test, which measures balance, motor speed, and a fear of falling. Interactive metronome does address fall risk, and it can help reduce fall risk by improving attention during environmental distractions. It can improve executive functioning, including impulse control and self-control, cognitive and motor speed, motor control and coordination, weight shifting, balance, and dynamic gait. I want to circle back around now to the I am effect principle that we talked about at the very beginning. Now remember, this principle states that interactive metronome increases the speed and synchronization of neural oscillations, which then leads to improved neural efficiency. Interactive metronome increases the speed and efficiency of white matter tract processing, which results in increased brain network communication, particularly between the parietal and frontal regions. And interactive metronome increases the efficiency of the attentional control system, working memory, and executive functioning for better focus, more complex cognitive processing, and learning. There are observable effects when using interactive metronome, and we've just talked about several research studies that do confirm this I am effect principle, that the change of our neural efficiency for the positive can be reached and it can be achieved by using the interactive metronome. So, thank you for participating in this pre-course research review. I hope it was interesting, and I hope that you learned some things through this. Now, the next steps for you would be to get ready for the actual virtual certification course. A couple of reminders. Go ahead and unpack the equipment box if it's necessary. If you already have your equipment, then there's no need to unpack it. Just make sure that it's handy for the day of the certification course. Print out or pull up the PowerPoint PDF in preparation for the day-long virtual certification course that you'll be participating in. It's important that you have that in front of you so that you can go ahead and take notes or jot down your questions. Also, make sure that you download the IM Pro software in preparation for use during the course. Also, download and log in to your link for participation as part of the group during the virtual certification course. I would also encourage you to test out your webcam and turn your volume down, even mute yourself before you actually participate in the course that day. There will be several reminders coming to you before the day of the course, and as always, don't hesitate to contact Interactive Metronome Tech Support or your representative if you have any specific questions. I'm really looking forward to working with you and to helping you learn about the interactive metronome during the virtual certification course. Have a great day.